Kia ora, tēnā koutou katoa. Welcome to Nerman's Podcast, episode 377. Today is Friday, March 17th, 2023. No, I will not be doing an imitation of an Irish accent. I won't. I said that today I was going to talk about, or this episode, I was going to talk about things that I've been up to, which are kind of sort of, in a way, projects a bit, maybe. So in that episode, I talked about a project that I was working on and a problem I ran into, and I couldn't figure out how I was going to solve it and all that sort of thing. Well, then when I finished recording the episode and I started editing it and got to 20 minutes and 15 seconds before the solution suddenly popped into my head. And I knew what I was going to do, so I wanted to do it, and then I was going to re-record the episode, but I didn't get a chance until today. So I'll talk about that first, and then I'll also talk about some of the reasons that led to this happening at all, this thing that I was talking about. So I have talked a lot over the past, however many years, about feeling tired and lack of focus and trouble remembering things and all that sort of stuff. And I think that there's a whole lot of reasons why all that has been true, but I haven't mentioned that much anywhere lately, only when it's extremely unusual how tired I am, like if I'm sleepy, for instance, which is different from just being plain old tired. And the gist of it is that I have complained about it enough, including to the people who can do something about it, theoretically, my doctors over the years. And nothing's ever changed. It's not really improved dramatically. And I've sort of just decided to accept this as my new reality and find ways to cope and to deal with it. And the major issue I came to believe, for me, going forward, was to get stuff out of my head. Because I'm trying to keep too much in there, and it's not working. The gist of it is that my brain is not as supple as it used to be when I was younger. And whatever else is going on with my memory and focus and all that sort of stuff, it ain't helping. So I decided I was going to have a paper-based system to keep track of the things I need to keep track of, which includes my projects. I should add here that the reason that it's paper-based is because I've tried various apps and so on, and none of them have worked well for me. I think I might have mentioned on the podcast, I know I did on my blog, that I use the Reminders app from Apple to trigger specific things that I need to do, like take my prescriptions every day. And so it gives me an alert every single morning, and I make sure that I have my pills that way so that I don't forget them. And so that's worked well. And then if there's a particular place I need to be or whatever, I'll put it in my calendar. And the virtue of those things is they're shared across all my devices, my desktop Mac, my iPad, my phone. So that has worked really well, but it's not enough. So I decided to hearken back to the wondrous days of yesteryear. Back in 1992, I designed myself a paper-based organization system because nothing that was available on the market like DayRunner or whatever the others, or PhiloFax, I think was one. Anyway, whatever. None of them worked for me because they were too standard and they were also designed toward people in business. And I wanted to keep track of my political activism on behalf of LGBTQ people. So I designed the system that had a calendar, it had a to-do list, it had sheets where I could keep track of all of the time I was spending doing things, which was actually useful for other things too, because I was, you know, doing some work for friends and things, and that way I could keep track of how much time I was actually spending on it, you know, stuff like that. But that system was fine for 30 years ago, but it's not usable nowadays because, number one, I'm not an activist anymore, and my needs are completely different. For instance, the to-do sheet had three columns. It had letters, phone calls, and miscellaneous. Well, virtually everything I do now is miscellaneous. So that wasn't going to work for me. So I knew I had to start over and come up with something different. Now, one of the things I've always done is I've made up nicknames for things and things that either strike me as funny or ironic or that help me remember them. So I came up with, this all started actually with just such a thing. I've frequently said that I've found things in this house since I've shifted in and lost them again. And the way I've put it is that I took the thing and I put it somewhere safe where I can find it again. And then I can't remember where that place was. So I created a sort of a log system called Somewhere Safe. And that is where I write down what the item is, and then I file it alphabetically in a ring binder under the first letter of whatever the thing is, like S for Staples or whatever, along with where I put it. The theory goes that I'll be able to find it again. And this harkens back to something I've done at every house we've moved in for, that we moved to, from to, whatever, over the past however many years that would have been, probably going back to like 2006, I created this thing I eventually called the manifest, and I would write down the contents of every box. And that way, if we were looking for something, we just had to find it in the manifest and then go to the box that it was in, find the box that it was in, because all the boxes were numbered similarly. So that's where the idea originally came from. And I came up with another one to monitor my projects, a separate binder. And that one is basically just, it's a list of my various projects, and it also files them individually, including any supplies I might need to complete the project. None of them are urgent, none of those projects. I don't have any urgent projects around at the moment. And then I just had a clipboard with a sheet on it, which I called the waiting room. And that was supposed to be the gist of a to-do list, because to-do lists haven't worked for me for probably 10 years-ish, give or take. And what was constantly happening is I would write things down on a to-do list and then forget to look at it. And I tried several to-do list apps, and none of them worked for me for a variety of reasons. Some of them were too complicated. A lot of times it was just I wouldn't bother to look at them again, or I'd forget. So I decided to expand into creating the broader system. I decided to expand that, and I have put in to-do lists based on another system, which I'll talk about another time once I have a fair chance to evaluate it. And I've tried it twice before, and it's failed. And so I'm not entirely sure that this is going to be any different. But what I'm using that for are things that I want to get done, not necessarily that I have to. Because again, if there's something that I have to do, it'll either end up in the Reminders app, my calendar, or both. These are things that are more like nice to do rather than need to do. But my thinking is that by putting them on some sort of to-do lists, I'm more likely to do them than just keeping on in that sheet called the waiting room, where I may or may not ever get around to it. So it's sort of medium importance, I suppose. And then I thought, well, what am I going to call this thing? So I decided to call this whole system Mission Control, because, well, it sort of harkens to the space race back in the 60s when I was growing up. And it sort of fairly describes what its intent is. And I've decided to put it into the whole thing into one ring binder instead of having two separate ring binders and a clipboard, to have everything in one ring binder. And which I jokingly referred to in a blog post, which I'll link to in the show notes, one ring binder to rule them all. And because it's combining other ring binders, that's the inside joke. So I went off to Warehouse Stationery to buy a ring binder, a larger ring binder, because the ones I had were too small to combine. And I also wanted to put other things in. So I found a ring binder that was thick enough, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh, yeah, this looks fine. So I bought it, and that's where it stayed. And then I wrote the blog post that I mentioned, and I posted that. I hadn't actually assembled the ring binder yet. So I thought, I better do that, because I had published the post. I thought I better actually put it together. So I thought, right, I printed out the new sheets for the new system, and I thought, now I just have to get the hole punch and put the holes in them, and I couldn't remember where I put the hole punch. So I thought, great. So I looked around and I finally found it. It was in a fairly logical place. And I then went and I punched the holes. And I got the new ring binder and opened it up. And it's a 3-ring binder. New Zealand uses 2-ring binders. That's all you can get normally. And my hole punch is a 2-ring binder. And I just today posted a blog post about this, and I'll link to that as well. But the gist of it is that the USA uses its own system of standards for ring binders, as you might expect. And 3-ring binders of that sort, of the dimensions that Americans are used to, are only available in the Americas. Let me rephrase that. They're only typically used in the Americas. Not all of the Americas either, apparently. Whereas what we use here in New Zealand is an ISO standard. And the position of the rings is specifically mentioned, which, by the way, apparently the U.S. system doesn't have standards for where the holes in paper are supposed to be, or the rings themselves. But there's customary positions, which seems a little bit loose to me. It is a loose leaf binder. Anyway. So I thought, what am I going to do? So I couldn't put everything in one of the binders because it's way too small. Another one was okay, but I wasn't really happy with it because the binder I wanted to use had one of those clear plastic pouches in the front so you can put a cover on. And I wanted that so everything would match and look pretty. But I couldn't do that. So I thought, oh, well, we'll have to do. And that's pretty much where I left it at that point. I didn't know what I was going to do with a three-ring binder. I did look it up online from the store, and they don't sell three-hole punches. They only sell the two-hole punches, which is what we normally use. So if somebody went to that shop and bought the three-ring binder, I don't know how they would use it, at least with paper, because there would be no way to punch holes in it. So I thought, what am I going to do? And then I realized that this is where the editing of the episode last week comes in. I was nearly at the end, and it suddenly occurred to me that I had a two-ring binder that I used to store recipes in, things that I either print out or that I would clip out of publications or whatever. But they weren't hole-punched. I put them into those clear plastic sleeves that is supposed to protect them from stuff. And that's actually why I did that, so that if I was making whatever the recipe was, and I splattered something on it, I could wipe it off. Not a problem. I didn't have to print out the recipe all over again. And those plastic sleeves, or whatever you call them, pouches, whatever, they have thousands of holes on them. I'm exaggerating. But the point is that they can fit pretty much any standard of binder you can imagine. So I just switched them. I took all of those sleeves out of the binder I was using and put them into the three-ring binder that I bought clearly by mistake. And then the old recipe binder became the one binder to rule them all, or mission control, if you prefer. And it's actually bigger than the one I was trying to use, and it had the plastic pouch so that I can put a pretty cover on it. And so that was all sorted. Now, I don't know why I didn't notice it was a three-ring binder in the shop, because I opened it up and looked at it, and it just didn't register. And I think it's probably because I grew up with three-ring binders. My whole life was three-ring binders until I came to New Zealand. So maybe that's it. I don't know. But I solved the problem in the end, and the binders are in use, and so everything's all wonderful and happy. Part of the reason why this particular project, if you want to call it that, the creation of the system, came about was because there were so many things that were just slipping through the cracks, things I wasn't able to remember is probably the right word. And among them was my dryer. I'm sure I must have mentioned it on the podcast before, but the day before the third anniversary of Nigel's death, my dryer broke down, and I needed to get someone to come and fix it. But at that time, you know, the day before the horrible anniversary, as I call it, and not long after the first anniversary of Jake's death, I just couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with the effort required to deal with bureaucracies of any sort. So I didn't. And then in the time after that, 5 months to be precise, I just kept forgetting. I only thought about it when I would do washing. And then, of course, the weather warmed up, and I often hang the washing outside anyway in summertime because it dries really quickly and it is free and that sort of thing. But it began to be a bit of a burden. And for a time, I felt pretty deeply ashamed of myself for not doing it, but I still couldn't remember to do it. Now, I've since moved past all of the shame and self criticism and all that sort of stuff, because I am what I am, basically, and it's not going to change. There are many issues, many reasons why it took me 5 months to get around to finally organizing it. Just a week ago Monday, the dryer was brought back from the repair. They had to pick it up to change the motor. Turned out the motor was faulty. And so they brought it back on Monday, and I've been using it ever since. As a matter of fact, it's running at this very moment. I don't know if you can hear any rain, but it is raining fairly hard at the moment. Anyway, so that was what made me finish the project for this organization system. I mean, I've been thinking about it off and on since like December, but the specific impetus to finish it was because it had taken me 5 months to organize the repairs on my dryer. And there are a few other things that slipped through the cracks like that. And my hope is that this system I designed for myself is going to make that less common, because I've got a way of tracking these sorts of things and hopefully won't have them slip through the cracks in the future. At the very least, writing them down gives me a way to follow up and to double check and that sort of thing. And that should make it easier for me to remember some things, because there won't be so many things that I have to remember. Now, whether that works or not, I don't know. We'll see. That'll be a topic for another day. But those are the main two things I've been involved with over the past few weeks has been the dryer and also this particular system. And I'm optimistic. I wouldn't say that I'm, ecstatic or what have you about it, because I've had so many failures with to-do lists and organization attempts in the past that this could very well just be another one of them. But because I designed this specifically for myself and my needs as I perceive them, I'm optimistic that it's actually going to help me quite a lot. Now, I do have some projects I need to work on. Tomorrow, actually, is a free selling day on TradeMe, our online auction site, and so I'm going to organize some stuff to put online to put up for sale tomorrow, which is a project of its own, I suppose, which I haven't done anything about for a few months, I think. I can't even remember the last time. It was sometime last year. And there's lots of things I need to start getting rid of, things that have value that I should be able to make, a few dollars on. So that's tomorrow's project. And apart from that, it's mostly just, ordinary sorts of things that I'm doing. I do blog about a lot of this stuff and a lot of things that I might mention here if I remembered. So you might want to check that out to see some of the things I've been up to. I've talked about gardening and my tomato, harvest. It's probably a bit too generous. My tomato crop, we'll say. The gist of that is that it's not cost-effective to raise tomatoes. But that's it for today, and that's it for this week. I hope to be back before another week's passed, but you just don't know these things. Actually, it's been more than a week because I didn't actually post last week's episode, now that I remember. But that's it for today. That's it for this week. I'll talk to you soon. Ka kite mo. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Airman's Podcast at airmanspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can visit and comment on the Amrins Facebook page, or you can email me, with or without a voice message, at amrins@gmail.com. This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Network and is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.